Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast.
It is the Slacker Podcast, and I'm sitting upstairs in Madden's, and I've got the lads from Kneecap here. Hello.
What's happening?
That's the crack. I know. This is the first face-to-face interview I've done since fucking 2019. Been a long time coming.
And you're probably your most famous guest of all time, too.
I know. I'd say yous are definitely up there. I'm trying
best-looking, probably.
You're up there with Geldof, anyway.
Better-looking than Geldof, anyway.
Is it your first one in a pub?
Isn't it the first one in a pub? Yeah. No. No, it is. It is. It is. I was right. I did one with Johnny Marr. It was beside a pub.
That doesn't count.
But no, thanks for coming and doing this. Listen, let's get to the fucking business straight off the bat, right? Anybody who's listening to this podcast, it's going up a day or 2 days after we record this because the boys are on tour in the UK. Tell us about that. What dates are like, a lot of it sold out, right?
Yeah, we're starting off. It's called the What's the Story Moaning Tory Tour. So we're starting off in Glasgow. That's already sold out with 700 people. So we're delighted with that there. A good start to the tour. And then we're going on, making our way down to North England. Newcastle on the 16th, Birmingham on the 17th, Liverpool the 18th, Leeds 19th. The tour poster's on our Instagram. Obviously, you want to check out more dates. 20th, Cambridge, Southampton, London 23rd, Brighton 24th, etc. South England. I don't think Southern England has...
They don't know what they're expecting. They're not warming tea. Well, I mean, like, you know what it is. Like when you're like an Irish band or a Northern English band, they kind of work in tandem. Like you have to do a lot to sort of
reach down there.
But at the same time, like I would say that there's a lot of people in the south of England might be scared of what Kneecap is.
I thought maybe they were all just tight as fuck and weren't happy to pay for tickets.
what do people see when they go to a Kneecap gig?
Three sexy bastards putting on a good performance.
Two sexy bastards, anyway.
Two sexy bastards and a masked man because he's fuck ugly, actually.
And the actual sex appeal from the whole thing. It's, you can't have fucking.
Is that why they put the mask on you? You're too sexy?
Too sexy, yeah. Like it's literally it's knickers dropping time. Like.
I mean, mine are falling off me right now. Didn't even know I was wearing any.
I know, you get a good performance. Like,
you're going to be sweating balls anyway. That's one thing.
It'll be a good workout for you at the very least.
And the speed we're jumping about and rapping, like, no one understands us, even if we were rapping in English. Exactly. So, you know what I mean? You're still going to have a good time, regardless of not understanding what we're saying.
Yeah, like, right. I mean, I've seen all the videos. I stood at the back of a show in Dublin once and was like going...
What one was that?
It was the
Academy?
One...
Academy? Oh, yes, yeah, I remember that.
I stood
at the back of that one and I was like... I think I'd been out the night before and I was traveling with the fear and I was sitting at the back going... If I get up into that, I'm in my 30s now. I would probably die, like because it's a proper mosh pit. It's proper insane.
Yeah, the Academy one
with a balaclava on.
Which one?
I doing it with a balaclava on and a fucking boiler suit.
Oh Jesus! You want to smell his? You want to smell his balaclava by the end of the tour? Like
he don't do anything anyway.
Instead of a false leg.
There's websites like on there that I'm sure you could probably sell that to, and people would buy that. Like
OnlyFans,
soiled balaclavas. Yeah,
Jesus, things have got bad money ways over the lockdown. There would be generally considered getting an OnlyFans, but we'll put that off until we're absolutely dire.
Unless there is a serious market.
Well, Jesus, you let us know, listeners, if there's a market there for an OnlyFans.
What does an OnlyFans for kneecap look like?
Saucy, raunchy pics under the balaclava pics.
Sweaty boxers after gigs.
Extra for skid marks.
I'm saying there's perverts with money out there that are willing to do it.
Definitely plenty of perverts with money.
Exactly. I'd love to financially dominate someone. I think there's people in that out there too. Pay pig is that what they're called? These people that love to be dominated financially.
Yeah.
Jesus, hit me up.
We're free.
We're free. Well, not free money wise, like.
Yeah. You just want to find yourself like a sugar mommy.
Yeah, basically.
Would love one.
Yeah. If they're listening, do many of them listen to your podcast? Maybe.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I don't individually go through the stats. I mean, most people.
Ah, you do.
Most people would just like go. Let's just go down the traditional record label route. But you guys have never really been traditional in the way that you approach things, have you?
No. Well, I mean, we're starting off with rapping in Irish, so we definitely knew that it wouldn't be the traditional route in the music industry anyway. So we had to pave our own way in that sense.
Yeah, there definitely wasn't an awful lot of funding going over the lockdown anyway. A lot of bands getting funding and stuff. I think they were bottom of the pile for funding anyway, rapping about drugs and Irish.
Do you think that the fact that you rap about drugs and stuff that's real to you in your community, it puts you at the back for funding and stuff like that?
Well, I was obviously paraphrasing there too. I mean, we don't just rap about drugs. I think people like the stereotype with that.
Yeah. Youth culture.
Like, yeah, obviously, of course.
The youths, they like the...
The party, Jesus like Christ,
class A's and
we talk about a lot more than just drugs, like. But what was the question?
Fall the state.
But it's just interesting to hear your side of it, because, like, you know, Northern Ireland, as a country, like, you know, we don't traditionally have a
Jesus, you walked right into that one.
You walked right into that one.
But, like, you know, Northern Ireland, tends to be like the last place to get funding out of everywhere, and, you know, when there is funding, a lot of it does go towards, you know, Irish speaking, like, you know, things, courses,
more traditional things, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, regardless of funding, like, I mean, that they would help. Like, we're not too fussed about funding if it comes or goes, but I'd say, like, things like radio play and all, like, we're never touched in that way. But RTE and stuff, they obviously have their own agenda and what type of music they want to put out there. Mm. So, regardless of funding, like, there's other ways to give bands money in Ireland, you know what I mean? If the radios wanted to play Irish bands and actually give them a few pounds, but I'd say definitely our material does put us at the bottom of the pile for RT radio plays. But regardless of that, I know a lot of bands who are on RT on a heavy rotation, and they don't have anyone at their gigs. So yeah, what's yeah, that yeah. tell you?
But it's just, and similar with Spotify. Like, I know plenty of bands that have millions and millions of hits on Spotify and couldn't sell out a 50 capacity venue in their hometown.
That's madness.
It's all about playlists.
Yeah,
and playlists that people do, like chill things or whatever. If you get on one of those, you're sorted for Spotify, but again,
gives you a false sense of how
much.
Yeah, it gives
you a false sense. Exactly.
It's a passive listen. Like, when you're listening to something, when you're in a coffee shop or you're in a pub or whatever, it's very rare that you just, like, throw the head up and stick Shazam on, or you become a fan of something. Like, I mean, I always think that, like, when I was running my record label, the real sign of something going really well wasn't getting your song onto the FIFA soundtrack, or it wasn't like going and getting onto this, that, or that playlist. It's seeing actual people that give enough of a shit to get out of their bed and go to a live show.
Of course, word of mouth is a big thing too. Like, I mean, if you go to a good gig, you're not going to stop ranting and raving about it for weeks on end. Every new person you see, you're going to say, Jesus Christ, you have to check these people out or whatever. So that has sort of benefited us a lot. Like, you know, with the live shows was probably our main...
Definitely. No. We definitely knew there was no other avenues for us in that sense. We weren't going to go down the avenue that most bands would. So we knew we had to get our music out live and in front of people for them to experience it, especially because it's in a language that not a lot of people speak
maybe
for one reason or the other.
Maybe even the majority of the crowd don't even.
Maybe. Yeah, it depends. It does vary.
Yeah,
a lot of times there's people who don't speak any Irish, or like people in Glasgow, they're just fucking singing in Irish and then they don't have any Irish at all.
Mm.
They're just doing it phonetically.
I mean, like when I was listening to your stuff initially, like I did, 3 years of Irish maybe in school.
Was it?
Yeah. And in our school, you learn language too late. You start learning Irish at 11 or 12, and you're kind of done by 14, and I mean, I had very little, but it's kind of...
Phil Taggart advocating Irish language in primary schools up north? Is that what I hear?
Turn them on.
Yeah, well, there's a sound bite for anyone listening. Someone chop that up.
But just any language that you do learn, like, you have to learn it when you're young and when you've got, like, the capacity to learn.
To an extent. Like, it definitely helps. Like, it's definitely, you take things in, you're a lot spongier when you're a kid as far as information's concerned. But, I mean, we live right beside, like, an Irish language centre, basically, that teaches people I've seen in their 80s starting, and that's not even an exaggeration. Mm. I've seen people as old as your ma, Phil, starting. I'm joking, like, but pensioners starting to learn Irish.
It's fun.
It's not impossible.
It's a bit of crack.
If you're interested, it's the same as anything. If you're interested in it, you're going
to
do it.
Like, it is one of the hardest languages to learn, though, isn't it? Like, in all honesty.
I suppose laughing worthwhile is easy.
But yeah, grammatically speaking, it hasn't changed that much in the last hundreds of years. It really has, in comparison to English language, which has been simplified a lot and dumbed down for some certain people. But the Irish language has kept most of its structures in that way. That's why it's cool and we have all these funky words and rhymes and
Irish has the same structure as Spanish and Italian and French and all, so it's actually easy enough to learn whenever you know those languages. It's just kind of transferring the words over. You have the same structure, whereas English is really the backward language, and it's kind of it's like an Anglo-Saxon, where Irish language is like a Celtic language.
I think same a lot of
the other ones,
a lot of people would find it difficult or are put off it in some way or the other because it's not really phonetic. Like, obviously Spanish or French is relatively phonetic or whatever.
Yeah, speak that language, people.
Yeah, do you know?
Definitely. Is it spoke at home? Like, did you grow up speaking it?
Just me, I think. Yeah, they spoke some of their family and stuff. Yeah, just my man and dad spoke it, and our brothers and stuff. We were just raised speaking Irish.
If you were in shit, would you get shouted at?
But it's not even, it's just a habit as well. Like anything, you break in and out of Irish and English. It's just like... That was it, Irish. And there wasn't, like, when you're getting shouted at, she turns to English. It was scarier when she was doing it in Irish.
Well, it's a harsh, like, you know, there's a lot of sounds in it, I think it would be scarier to be shouted at in Irish than it would be
especially if you don't know what they're saying.
Like, in Irish, there's no real curse words. No, if you wanted to say to someone that fuck off or whatever, you would say and chloch is eachtaris nariga garusha wardachion, which means, like, may the lowest stone in the sea be on top of your head. Things like
takes ages, though, then the fella will be away by the time you start slagging him.
The fella would have emptied you by that point.
The well-cursed by that stage.
And then you go, what are you saying? And you're saying, well, I said, fuck off.
I'm not your fucking mate. obviously, that comes from the fact that it hasn't really changed, as Mowgli was saying there, over the last load of years. So our slagans aren't as good as they were now.
They're a lot more blunt in English, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a lot more poetic. A lot more poetic in Irish.
More time to say things.
Yeah, but like myself and Provi, we learned it in school, obviously, and just sort of ran with it.
Yeah.
Sort of enjoyed it. It was fucking cool. Like, people didn't know what the fuck you were saying. Do you know, it was class. It's what every teenager's dream is, to run about and their parents not know what the fuck they're saying. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Creating that language, that barrier. You could be saying anything in front of your folks. Exactly. I mean, like, with... Like, who would you consider would be your peers in terms of, like, Irish language and music? And it doesn't have to be modern peers, but, like, you know, just going through the ages, like, was there people singing in Irish that you felt that you could relate to, or is this something that you think is fresh to you?
Nah, there's no one in Irish, but there's definitely people singing or rapping in English who were Irish bands or rappers or whatever who were doing it in English. That was encouraging, but... There was no one actually doing it in Irish. We obviously all speak Irish together and party together and take drugs and drink and all that stuff, drinking and drugging in Irish. We had that subculture of life already. And we've seen them other bands representing whatever subculture or culture or community they came from, but there was never really represented it in our small, tight circle. So we kind of took influence from, like, Rubber Bandits, definitely.
Yeah, of course.
Rubber Bandits were a big one.
Coming out doing things like Roisin and all these really Irish... Like, themes and songs were fucking, didn't give a fuck. We were like, that was great. And that was definitely very, very encouraging. When I was 16, trying to get fucking horse, I'd say, to play it at the nightclub. That's mad for it.
I remember it, yeah.
Like, obviously, them having, like, Irish subjects, even though it was in English or whatever, but they were talking a lot about Irish life and about, you know, they weren't talking about the man them.
I seen that in the Empire as well, actually. Funny enough, years ago, we went to the Empire and there were people, like, leaving or whatever. don't know what these people expect. Two files of bags on their faces.
Exactly. I mean, if you're there to take things seriously, you need to have a good look at yourself.
I went to see the In Progress gig that the Rubber Bandits did in the Leicester Square Theatre in London, just like not long before he started his podcast, actually. And they never toured it. They never did a tour of the show. And I was chatting to Blind Boy after the gig. He had the mask off and we were having a cigarette out front. I've met him a few times. And this guy comes over and he just puts the arm around me and he puts like a sort of arm around this other girl and he's going, Jesus, that show was amazing. It was like it was like an onion. There were so many layers to it. It was like Shakespeare. And Blind Boy just goes with his mask off. He's just like going, oh, I'm sure he'd love to hear that. And then the boy turns to him going, who are you? And he's just like going, oh, I'm just overseeing my cousin.
There's some magic there as well that he isn't recognised. There is some beauty.
It's hard not to though. Just the one guy vaping consistently. Yeah, exactly. It's not hard to figure out.
Of course. Any downfall is there that people don't buy your paints on nights out. True. They don't recognize you without the bag.
True.
I'd say can probably afford his own pints at the stage. Like,
Jesus, I'd say so. With that podcast, he's fucking raking it in.
And the book. I mean, like, yeah, like
the book is brilliant. Though
I have a few friends now that I just say to them, I was like, "Going, do you have any independent thought anymore, or do you just like tell me stuff that Blind Boy says?"
Regurgitated.
Anyone does really.
There's many people like that. Ah, Jesus, sir. The majority of people are reputation anyway these days.
Yeah, well, he's a legend. Like, I love what he's doing.
Yeah, great book.
I mean, interesting, I suppose, talking about the sort of satire of the Rubber Bandits and, like, you know, people getting outraged and people walking out of the shows. Like, I mean, you know, the satire of the stuff that you do too. Pisses people off to a ridiculous degree, to where they seem to think that you're exactly the same person that you are on stage, where there is some sort of a difference, right?
Oh,
of course. Jesus, you can't be running about fucking acting header all the time. Jesus,
hey, calm down. No.
Disowned.
You kill some people on Call of Duty for a while. Chill. It's a fine line, obviously, but I mean, it is. I mean, the characters, whatever, is something that we use to enable us creatively and to bring other aspects of other things, the environment, into it in that way. So it definitely is. And when you're on stage, you're on stage. Like, you're a different person. Even if you're playing yourself, you're still on stage and performing. You know what I mean? So regardless if you have a character that you use or not, you're still on stage as well. So you turn into something.
Nobody wants to fucking go to a gig or any kind of show, whether it's drama or whatever, and watch someone on stage being themselves and boring as fuck. Everyone wants to see an exaggerated version where you're fucking putting on a good show. Obviously, that's what people are there for.
It's good when you get that phone call too, saying, right, turn on the news quick, you're on fucking BBC Two or BBC One.
Christopher Stalford's giving out about you. My ma rang me out. I used to work, believe it or not. My ma rang me when I was in
work. What did you do?
I worked here, funny enough.
Oh, in this bar, right? Okay.
So I was paid to drink. Don't tell him that. And my ma rang me one. It must have been 6 o'clock. I just started my shift and she was like, I was like, what's the crack? I'm in work here. She was like, what have you done now? Like, fucking Christopher Stalford's on the news giving out about you.
Been quiet lately, you know.
What was he saying?
It was that Empire gig we done.
Yes.
And we had obviously the Get Your Brits Out song or whatever it was.
It wasn't even the song.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the origins of the song.
You had the one of the princes. Prince Albert. They were on the night before. We just touched lucky actually that we were on the next day. Which was fucking great PR for us, obviously. Like, so
that goes back to obviously where this is before we only started, obviously. So everyone was just, like,
this was our first proper Belfast show.
Sending them emails. I was like, we're like a local Irish language community group, whatever, blah 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 blah.
Fiddly
and
dee.
Like, no one actually questioned it because there hasn't been anything like us before that, so they would never assume that we would be what we are. So they obviously let us play. The Empire is like a well-renowned venue in Belfast. Yeah. Like, I don't think any scumbag can go up and get a gig, not really.
Any scumbag can't even walk in to get a pint. Never mind.
Exactly.
It's called the Empire, for fuck's sake.
So that was the beauty of it. That's why if they didn't know that we were getting up to them antics next day, they would have known who we were.
Prince William and his partner, I can't remember her name.
Kate or something like that.
They land down.
Prince Kate.
And then the next day, you guys are on stage.
Same stage.
But the thing is, I mean, like...
We shouted, so I heard your royal family was here last night.
Get your Brits out.
Get your Brits out.
Which was a single
it's
that you had.
It's a play on word for Get Your Brits Out.
Yeah,
that was the origins of the song. After that, the song wasn't out by the stage. That was like where it came from, basically. And some fella like took a video and leaked it to the Daily Mirror or the Daily Mail or whatever. But like, we had the video on our Facebook anyway. Yeah. Didn't have to leak it.
Exactly. The quality one. It was awful quality, the one they used on UTV that day. We should have fucking asked us. We'd have given you a far better quality one. That was it then. They used the wee clip. Oh, fuck. It was gold. Like, your man's like, on Thursday night, you had blah, 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 blah. Talking about peace and all this here. Yeah. This was Friday night, and then it was like a really bad edit of like, no, like this from side to side.
Yeah,
and it was us obviously having the middle of the chant.
Everybody jumping, going nuts.
Fucking bottles flying everywhere, and it looked like far better crack. And then Christopher Stafford comes on, obviously giving it the big in, being like, oh, for any type of people to say to any other group of people to get out. I'm like, you were the elected representative for South Belfast, where people write blacks out on the doors constantly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
When they say, like, you know, like, all publicity is good publicity, I guess that kind of works, because the ethos of the band is punk rock, right? Right. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not a punk band, but you've got that spirit. Mm-hmm. With, like, you know, remember on the set, like, going back before any of us were ever born, like, Sex Pistols going on the TV and swearing at people, God Save the Queen coming out. Mm-hmm. And then, like, every generation's had their version of that, like, like NWA, mm-hmm. You know, like, going forward. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like that did you more good than it did harm.
Oh, definitely. Jesus. Like, it was like the DUP just kept giving us golden PR coins, like, every couple of weeks at that point when we were starting off. There was a few other ones. Like, we had the poster for the English tour, the English and Scottish tour, of Arlene Foster and fucking Boris Johnson strapped their rocket on top of a bonfire, and, like, they bit straight away, and it was just like, them's putting out these things or whatever, condemning us. We were, like, publicly condemned by the DUP, which is fucking something I'm going to have
under
in my gravestone.
Irish news, you know?
And, like, is there any thought that goes into it, but while you're making it, that you're kind of hoping that
it's
it does get picked up?
Perfectly calculated.
Well, we're definitely at a stage in the North where, like, people are wise to how overly sensitive a lot of politicians and groups are, like, over the top sensitive. So for us, we're pushing very small buttons. Like, we're not doing anything. We're putting out, like, artwork or saying things. We're not, like, enforcing policies that decimate communities. So people are more wise now to how, like, just sensitive they are for no reason, mm-hmm. and not really for any specific reason. So that's why I think these bands come at a time when people are a bit wise to maybe the political group, when they're not in touch with the people in that sense, and just getting over the top sensitive to make themselves relevant constantly. You know what I mean?
If you, like, are expelling all the energy that you have in your songs, like, about what you think, or just, like, how you feel youth culture is in Northern Ireland, and how kind of just disappointed you are in politics in Northern Ireland, does that make you apathetic to politics, and, like, does that make you less likely to engage in it, or, like, in a meaningful way?
I mean, if you're going around speaking Irish, never mind rapping on Irish on stage in front of crowds, like, it's instantly political now in the climate up north, do you know?
Are you talking about party politics in that sense? Like, more apathetic?
I'm just talking about life politics in general. Or?
I just think a little bit of both, really. I mean, like the thing is, like, do you feel political outside of the band and everything else with what you do personally? Like, do mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have affiliations with any particular parties, like.
So being born in this place, I think, as a Gaelgoer or whatever, is instantly political. I think it's hard to escape politics in that way. If you mm-hmm. want to go about mm-hmm. the life that you'd like to live, mm-hmm. it's hard to escape.
The fact he can't start a primary school in a certain area because of people are looking for Irish language at primary school over in East Belfast now, and there's people coming out to meetings and shutting it down and getting fucking up on their high horses about it. Like, so
there was a GAA, East Belfast GAA club started there a few months back.
I signed for them and went to training once, and then they were like, we need these every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday, and I was like,
I'm too busy.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing rockets every other week.
I can do Monday.
Well, their first training session, you obviously heard about the fucking pipe bomb. Well, did you not hear about this? Jesus, you remember. It was like their first training session. There was an alleged pipe bomb that the whole place had to be cordoned off. Like, the whole training session had to be cancelled because it was obviously an intimidation tactic. So the training session had to be cancelled, and cops were called, obviously, and it was an alleged pipe bomb. I don't think it was a pipe bomb in the end, but it was an intimidation tactic anyway for a GAA club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tense political atmosphere anyway, especially with Brexit and all this.
It is, but I agree in that sense. But going back to the opportunities that we have now, because we grew up at a time where there is no upheaval or fucking Brits with soul guns and all these things.
These are ceasefire babies, aren't you? Like,
not sure, but maybe he's JJ.
I was.
When's that? was your birthday?
Well, after I got out of the blocks.
in the 80s.
He was released. He was released on Good Friday, on the Good Friday agreement.
After DJ Proby got out of the Curragh in 1945. he's there for a while.
Yeah.
I know.
We have the opportunity, you know what I mean, now with the way we have an opportunity to choose what aspects of our culture that we want to maintain and to focus on because we have more peaceful times. So now this is where we come across, where we want to focus on the language and the culture and the community and these things that we don't have to focus on politics to make community stronger and make us feel more connected to Ireland in that sense. There's other ways for us to get along.
I kind of noticed a couple of years ago, like people of your age and maybe a little bit younger, kind of use republicanism as kind of like a meme. If you know what I mean, because like they haven't really grown up through it.
I do get a mix. Yeah. I mean, personally, I wouldn't be shouting up a rah on a night out. I do shout
on a night out. No, you're asking for trouble.
I do shout a lot of things, but that there, I mean, it doesn't get me going. Like, I mean, in that sense. So I agree in that sense. There is a space there where the meme can be, got it put across better. But I mean, we wouldn't be like that. No, you know what I mean? There are people who are like that, and especially if you're in a place so sensitive, you're not going to be. We don't advocate that either.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
We're the same as you. We grew up here. Like, we understand that if you're under it about shouting up the rah in a fucking bar somewhere, do you know what I mean? You're just asking. Asking for trouble. You're doing it for a reaction, and people like that are dickheads. Do you know what I mean?
Our communities all suffered or whatever. At every different group, there's the IRA, the British, the loyalists in that sense. So we're trying to put the whole context in that, and not just make it, not only make a joke out of it, but, you know, put it in some context and for us, and to kind of take out the sting as well. In that sense, not just to add to the sting, we want to take the sting away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we have people from all sides of the community come to our gigs or contact us and stuff. So it's not, you know, we're not.
But if I was like a young Protestant lad, I think I would feel a little bit intimidated by kneecap.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Oh Jesus. Well, I mean, any Protestant lads we've met, like, I mean, Mowgli here was over on a friend of ours was up filming the 12th, and Mowgli was over with him, like at the actual marches over on Sandy Row. And Jesus, the reception was brilliant. They were all up straight away, loved kneecap, singing the word. We give a crowd of about 7 of them tickets here for the gig in Belfast Telegraph. They were loving it.
All I heard was see, and I was like, no way.
There's no way he's going to finish. Followed us up with an E.
Yeah, the fella standing in the middle of the Orange Parade, and I turned around. Like, what are you doing here?
Behind enemy lanes.
We had the crack, and we had a drinking bucket with him, and like seeing you meet face to face, and like beyond all the braggadociousism or whatever the word is.
Whatever.
And all that crack, you know, when you're face to face, these people are just the same as us. You know
of course.
Mean?
Like, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Channel 4 interview we done. Obviously, it was mad enough, obviously, through the alcoholism, like, but like a lot of it, like, good Jesus, there was a lot of good points there too, like, but we're pretty fucking inclusive in that way, like, as we've spoken about, we want.
We no interest in anything
else. We don't have interest in fucking
separate
conflict anymore. We can't speak for what fucking happened years ago. There was a war on, fucking awful things happened on both sides, but all we can talk about, we can talk about between us three is talk about now and how we fucking unite the working class. Like, as I said in the fucking interview, I have more in common with someone in the Shankill than I do a rich person from fucking Dublin, even though we've got the same passport, you know what I mean? We all go out partying in the same areas, we drink in the same areas, you know what I mean?
And we're very open, like, we'll hold our cards, what's the saying? Hold our cards, not
close
tightly.
To our chest.
The opposite of that there, you know what I mean? We're very
cards.
Open.
You wear,
very open.
Wear your cards on your sleeve?
No, whatever the English says, my second language.
Oh, your cards.
Oh, you hurt your cards.
Take your cards right.
I think that's what they enjoy with us in that sense, because we're not hiding anything. We're not trying to like sneak across them or get one over them. We are what we are, and you'll see everything what you need to see and listen to it. So they kind of enjoy that honesty as well, and they can find some connection there.
And we still support a United Ireland, like, but a United Ireland for all of the working class people on both sides of the divide. Do you know?
Definitely.
Hail. I think a United Ireland on those terms would be more beneficial than a United Ireland where you have a monarchy who poured a lot of the money.
Tories.
And Tories who are putting in
fucking, more money.
Yeah, where they're relying on fucking footballers to feed their kids.
Literally.
Yeah.
It would be a lot more beneficial to everybody, and then we'd be a lot more inclusive.
But it's not to say, I'm sure it could be intimidating if you come to our gig, but all we can say is you're safe, you're going to have fun, and you've got a free ticket there if you want any local working Protestant wants to come to our gig.
Yeah, we're trying to get the percentages up with Catholic and Protestant.
We need to get the funding. For the funding.
The PSNA.
always comes back to the funding, doesn't it? I know you've been asked this a lot, like, but I think there'll be a lot of new listeners to kneecap after putting this out. The spray paint incident, like, tickles me. I was just thinking about it in the drive here. I saw a bit of street art.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I mean, Belfast is great for street art and graffiti.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, going, that's like, tell me about it. I think it's a laugh. Like,
so this is 2017 probably. Yeah. I think
This is the start of the band, right?
Yeah, this is the seed basically to put the wheels in motion. Seeds to put the wheels in motion.
Oh, you're good at these English.
I know, it's like Del Boy. Del Boy does it.
He's
all
a lot better at them than Irish.
I prefer them backwards.
There wasn't a dry tear in the house.
It's not his main language. It's okay.
It's not my first language. I was forced to speak Irish. But it was 2017. There was like an Irish language march for the Irish Language Act and whatever legislation in Irish. And me and a friend of mine, the other fella we live with, Shannon, we went out spray painting the city, wrecking it, and just putting signs up in Irish and slogans and revolutionary shit. And smoking joints as well, obviously. So we ended up just going up to Falls Road. We covered the whole city and we had this bus stop left. And I was like, right, I'm going to do this bus stop. It's right beside the house. And I was writing...
It was right on the route
right
of the
route,
march.
Yeah.
So the whole march was going to walk directly past this bus stop. So it was prime time.
Prime time. So I was like, sweet. And I ran Carta, C-E-R-T-A, because that means rates. And I did like an arrow and people will be... see it and walk down that way for your rights. It's a bit cheesy, but it's a good crack. So now I'm sitting there spray painting it, and the other fella goes to me, here, finish that C again, because it's a bit wonky, whatever. So I was like spray painting the C again, and the next minute, just undercovers cross the road, and the fucking Passat, I think, or Insignia, a black Insignia, pulls up, handbrake, three cops out of the car, and I'm sitting there like this here, with my hand, spray painting in my hand, the spray painting. And I was looking at them. He's right from like hard distance we are, like 2 meters away.
Yeah.
And I was staring at him like, oh fuck. And I'm like, rah. And then we start just running around the estate, around Beach Mountain. They're like chasing after us, driving after us in a car. And we're like, me and the other fella run, and we're running in the left in the Beach Mountain. St. Paul's Church is there. We're running through St. Paul's Church and we get away from them. And then they catch us again. They're driving after us again through Beach Mountain. We're just running. My mate is just, he's not as fit, so I was like, sweet, yeah, every man for himself, see you later. I like, that was the rules, like, we're not both going to get caught. So I sprinted home, into the house, clothes off, lights off, they're on their house smoking joints.
I was sitting there with a joint, and he just comes flying through the door. I was like, what the fuck is this? And he came into the living room, just run right past me and closed the blinds. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? He's like, Peelers, no, he's like, they got Shannon, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't even know they had Shannon, but we were guessing. But like he obviously just slowed down, and the cops just caught up with him and took him away. And as like we were like, I'll go around the block in case he fell or someone fucking beat him up. Went around the block once. He went around the block. It was like 3 a.m. by a stage. So I was like, okay, he must be caught. So I had to go up to his girlfriend. I was like, here, I think the police have your boyfriend.
But it's because he refused to speak any English to them then. So they kept them overnight until they could get a translator the next day. And the translator was at the Irish Language March. So yeah. He came down with his fucking wee paints on his face and stuff to translate him and all blah, blah, blah. And obviously the guy we know, he was helping him doing the spray, was very much apologetic over it. He's like, for fuck's sake, no, I'm sorry, you're missing the march because of me and all blah, blah, blah. So it was just sort of born from that.
And he obviously refused to speak English and whatever. I got kept overnight. And then the next day he came out when we were just walking down the road. There was like 10,000 of us going down the Falls Road. And then... he just started walking up the road and everybody's going mental, loving it. It was a great crack.
He's like a martyr, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. That's basically where I was born from, so thanks to the undercovers.
When did you come into Pro V?
We needed someone to carry our gear.
Our USBs.
Yeah, the heavy USBs right enough.
Not long after. I mean, we were singing character, like, rapping at parties and all, house parties for, like, 4 or 5 months before that. We were all off our heads doing it for our mates and whatever, and they seemed to enjoy it, so we said, fuck it, we'll give it a whack. And then,
honestly, Pro V's very musical anyway. Like, it'd been musical for years.
I had
so.
The laptop and that, and came in and put the beat together, and
it was, and then we just started character, and we just got it done, and we didn't have never had any ideas about doing this before. We just did it, and then had a lot of crack and a lot of fun, and then we stuck it out on Facebook, and then we're like, "Fuck, people are enjoying us.
Let's go again."
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't sure. We didn't have a clue. Obviously, it was rapping Irish, and like not even and like when we first put it out, there was like my dad's mates who were like Sinn Féin politicians and like big people, MLAs and whatever, and they were like sharing it and stuff because they weren't even listening to it. They were like, "Irish language rap. That's unbelievable." Sure. And they had to take it all down. Like, they had to like put it in a like, press release, being like, "Oh, sorry, we didn't know that this was the content of this song."
Yeah, it was like primary school teachers and stuff.
We were sitting in the culture land one day, and fucking Jerry Adams walks in and goes, "Oh, Ilam and Toran, we like this song.
The Kneecappers.
But like, we had primary school teachers getting in touch with us now, being like, "Will you just come in and do it for the class?" Like, you fucking bizarre.
I will, but much.
I will if you want. Much you paying us.
Much Pokemon do they have?
We'll get another 2 pints.
If you want, yeah.
Right, we'll take five.
Go ahead, yeah. Take five.
Sweet it a bit.
Take five. Which one of yous said, "Nothing is safe from having the piss taken out of it"?
Jesus, I'm sure all three of you have said that at one point.
I read it somewhere, and I was thinking to myself when I read
that. Was that for you?
Was that me?
Yeah, I thought it might have been you. And
Was that Channel 4 or something, was it?
Yeah, that was
Maybe it was. And I just like thought about that afterwards, and I was like, "Nothing is safe from having the piss taken out of it." Does that mean when you're writing, then you're like writing stuff down on a pad or on your phone or whatever, that you've gone too far with something and you're like, "Oh God, I can't say that"?
I mean, there's definitely some things that are out of bounds. Like, there's definitely some things that you can't say.
Frankie Boyle kind of stuff.
No, not even that. Because Frankie Boyle words his jokes well. Like,
he has time to talk.
Sometimes he has time to talk and explain or whatever. We have to be punchy. Every line has to be fucking... Every line that we write has to make you want to listen to the next line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's only so much we can do. No, I don't censor myself too much. Like, I definitely wouldn't censor myself too much. But also the idea of that line, or that nothing's safe from having the piss taken out of it, is that things have been so fucking serious here up north. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's like, "Oh, fuck, you can't be Jesus Christ. Like, you'll fucking start the war up again." Do you know what I mean? Everything's been so fucking serious that, like, it's time for everyone to fucking see the humor in life again. Do you know what I mean? Everything's been so serious. There's been enough fucking... Distraught people over the years.
Like, within our realms, there's nothing to take. Like, obviously, there's loads of subjects we don't talk about, but within the things that we talk about, there's nothing we can't take the piss out of in that sense.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So that's why we don't. There's loads of subjects just aren't for music.
Exactly.
Are for our music anyway. Maybe some people want to take some certain causes or subjects upon themselves, but for us, that's not why we're here.
Who are the artists or comedians or like beat makers or whatever that are saying stuff to you about Irish culture in 2021 that speaks sense?
Irish culture?
Like bands that are going now, in a sense. Yeah.
But Irish culture?
It can be comedians, it can be anybody. Artists, writers.
It's more folk music. Like, I mean, really, I can think of
folk music.
Lankum,
the Merry Wallopers.
Wallopers, definitely.
Merry Wallopers are dynamite.
Ye Vagabonds
are classic. It'd be mostly folk music as far as Irish culture is concerned.
Hasn't really made the crossover in hip-hop, really, because a lot of that genre is still, a lot of the subjects would be, I think, from listening to it, a lot more American stuff.
Yeah, the biggest crossover of hip-hop and Irish culture is dickheads running about with paddy caps on rapping. It's about as close as they're coming to Irish culture.
Yeah, basically. A paddy cap is the extent of their Irish culture.
With their English slang.
What do you think of like artists like Mango?
Mango's a fucking legend.
Mango's
a legend. Jesus, he's great crack for the paint, that cunt.
I mean, if you've got a strong Belfast accent, he's got the equivalent Jesus. Dublin, right?
Yeah, fucking right. Jesus. And it's as deep as fuck, voice. Please.
Yeah.
He does a certain type of
rap. He'd be good to have for a podcast.
He could talk about
He's got a tattoo of Ronnie Drew on his arm, drinking a pint of Guinness.
He does a different genre. He does like a garage or something. Was it garage or
He does a bit of bassline as well. Yeah. His new one's a bit of bassline. I thought.
Yeah. Like, he's great for the tunes. Great for paint.
How does your own community react to the music? I mean, like not just like, you know, people that are the same age as you, but like, you know, the elders, the people in the shop, the people in the butchers. Like,
my man loves it. My man's our biggest advocate. Like, so my man knows everybody in West Belfast. Like, so she does all our PR work for us for middle aged people.
All their haircuts as well.
She does all their haircuts as well. Like, but she. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have looked at it and been like, holy fuck, what? They don't know how to take it, like, but try to just get my man on the phone.
I've had some boys coming up to me and saying, well, here you're one of these kneecap boys and all that, dude in the mask.
Hold on, you told me this at Stendhal and it kind of blew my mind. Tell me about the climbing. Tell me about climbing the mountain.
Climbing the mountain?
Can't remember that story.
It was about not wearing your mask.
Is this some metaphor, is it?
He must have been full of shit when you were done with
it. Sounds like it.
You've been drinking poaching too much. You said to me that you were climbing. I'll retell the story for you. That you were climbing a mountain with someone, and you weren't wearing your balaclava, obviously, because you're mental climbing a mountain. Right, go on, you can take it from here.
This was, and there was a race going on.
No.
Wacky races.
Too many class A's.
No, when I was thinking when you said that, there was this kind of race, the Seven Sisters, and then they were coming down Errigal Mountain, and I was walking up, and the fella just stopped and went, DJ Proby, fucking absolutely love kneecap. And I was like, how did he recognize me without my balaclava?
He said I didn't recognize you without the mask on. which is an incredible sentence. I was thinking about that for days afterwards. I didn't recognize you.
So was I.
It's a head scratcher.
I didn't recognize you without the mask on.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
It still annoys me. Like, I'm still like,
I wonder where.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
that
how the fuck did he know then? Did you ever get to the bottom of it? Like, or what?
Your mouth, your lips.
I don't know what it was.
Were you kissing him?
This must have been my energy or something.
Those big traumatized eyes of yours.
Big sexy traumatized eyes.
Big snippy.
Traumatized eyes.
Tell me about the trip that you stayed to the States. You were going on a tour and then...
I don't like you talking about it.
Well, DJ probably never got in. So.
He didn't accept his visa. No, basically it was like we were pretty late on the board or on the ball trying to get the fucking the visas sorted. And it was what, like a week before we were away, maybe?
Supposed to be playing in Olympia. Oh, we were playing in Olympia then.
That happened. You got into that, all right.
Fontaines, and then we were driving up the road in the bus and fucking working through that my visa was turned down.
Heartbreaking.
So, just like that. So me and him had
He won't tell us why.
Well, apparently he didn't get any word of why he was denied. So I'd have just like that, just before we went, they wouldn't let him in. So we had to improvise, adapt and overcome. And we weren't
going to go in solidarity, but we said, fuck it, we'll go.
Five seconds, we went, we will go. I know we will go
in America.
We'll stay in the house.
I was one of the first people with COVID, and I was lying fucking sofa for 5 days, sweating.
Good thing
balls.
You didn't go.
Yeah. Saying that, he was crying his eyes out because he never got
tears.
In.
Tears of sweat.
We got another fella who instead of DJ Provy, he was DJ Pantan Provy. So he came over and he played the first gig. It was in the Mercury Lounge in New York. Sold out. We were like, right,
great place as well. Been to sold out in the Mercury Lounge. That's pretty pretty big going.
Yeah, right. 300 people there.
Well, just under 300. I think.
Look, Americans, randomers, like some old woman with a kasha first year, our secondary school. She's just holding it up
in the middle of New York.
In the middle of the gig, like
we had no idea who she was.
In front of her face.
So it was that we were like, right, this is the perfect fucking start. This is it. Catapulted. We're just going to be around fucking running rampage in America now. And then the fucking germ war started, COVID, the 6 other gigs we had booked, all cancelled, and we had to come back a week early.
Oh my God, you've only got one.
Got one gig out of the seven. So never mind that, we had no money before we went there, so the whole idea was we'll go there, make the money, and then book our flights home when we've got money.
That's a brave move.
Yeah, we're pretty much doing the same thing here for this English tour. England's got his tour.
That's a bit safer.
It's a bit safer, though. We can near enough swim. Yeah. But we were in America then, so it was like, right, fuck it, this is what we'll do. So obviously we started the GoFundMe then, we're like, that's... Sort us out here. We're fucking stuck in America with literally no money. Don't know how to get back. And if we don't speak the language, if Donald Trump doesn't get us COVID, we'll get us home. And fair play to people. Fucking pulled a finger out, like, and sorted us out. And we're able to come back. But it's heartbreaking experience for fuck's sake.
You do have that sort of like roving vagabond kind of vibe to the band, where like wherever it is you go, people seem to like take you in and look after you.
Yeah.
Like
that's because we beg them.
But it doesn't feel like that. Do you know what
your
I mean?
Local sexy beggars.
Like it does seem that you get looked after a lot more than a lot of bands that go through.
I guess the fact that there's no record label there really to look after. It was all self funded basically at that time. So there was only so much money we had, and basically we were relying on people. Whether it was handouts for a score for a few pints, or whether it was a sofa for the night, you know.
That an Irish thing as well. I think, you know what I mean, people understand we come from Ireland, which is a small, small place in comparison to everywhere else in the world. So I think people are supportive of that there and like to help us wherever we're going abroad and stuff. So,
I mean, if a record label came true, would the conversation be there, or is the
boy?
It depends what it depends who the record label is. We're not in any fucking rush for it. Like it's not the hill we're going to.
I mean, I've having like run a label for about 7 or 8 years.
Oh, like, is this an offer coming?
I could say yeah. No, well, from the label that I just shut down. I mean, I put out
we'll
like
shut a hand.
We'll take your label.
Yeah, like I put out like lots of tight stuff and Reggie Snow and
Reggie
Snow
and stuff. But like any English like record label, which is pretty much all of them, like they're gonna struggle by putting out stuff in the Irish language. Do you know what I mean? Do you think that like sort of makes it a bit more of a difficult sell?
I don't know anymore, like, because it's sure how many people listen to fucking songs in Spanish or French that don't speak the language anymore. Do you know what I mean? There's a big market.
Any language, Welsh, Super Furry Animals or whatever, in these big groups.
People are massive now, and sure, fucking K-pop.
Wembley? What is it, Wembley? Two nights?
No, 3 nights. They sold out Wembley.
I was listening to Baby Metal or fucking great band. Have you ever heard them?
Nah. Is that a genre? Is that a...
No, Baby Metal or just like...
Baby Metal.
They're squealing.
PC Babies.
Baby Metal are great, like, but I mean, yeah, you're
so what language is it in?
I think it's in Japanese. I might be wrong. Apologies if I am. If I was like sitting here, right, and I'm in my big like recording studio or my big recording office, and I'm like going, God, these kneecap guys have got really good streams. Like, Get Your Brits Out on 1.1, Hoods on 986, Cartes on 900. You know, like those streams aren't to be messed with, like, because, like, you know, that's money. Like, I mean, you get to a million streams, that's roughly about $4,000, like,
no, mm-hmm.
I spread out over 3 years.
Yeah.
Pays the bills, like, but definitely. Yeah, I mean, definitely. That is proof of that. You don't need. I mean, that's not all our speakers listening to this. Everyone from Donegal Gael Tactist.
There's not a million Irish speakers, but there's a few million hits there. I mean.
Yeah, no, massively.
But definitely, there's definitely
space for that.
20 years ago, there wouldn't have been.
No,
there wouldn't have been for anything. Like, I remember I was listening to Kenny Arcana, I think she's called, Le Rage or something is her big tune. It was a French rapper. Like, I was listening to the house one day, like, whenever I live with my parents, I must have been 14, 15, my dad walks in and was like, why the fuck would you even listen to that? Sure, you can't understand it. And I think that was the, of that generation, that was the idea. If I don't understand the music, whatever, but, like, people just feel it
otherwise,
now. Do you know what I mean? People
otherwise
just feel the music now. Like,
you've grown up with, like, you've never remembered a time without the internet. Like, the world became smaller when it became closer. Do you know, like, when you can put on any music you want.
Yeah,
you can speak to somebody in flipping Congo or in flipping Kidderminster. Do you know what I mean? it doesn't
really sound big. Good, and it feels good. You know, people are going to come out and
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, like, there's no plan for
we
you.
Don't
to,
want,
to
we don't fucking want a record label anyway. Who's going to be worried about that trivial matter anyway? So
they'll be getting us for that reason, because we do it the way we do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It'll be an independent then.
Independent. If Rough Trade Records are listening, like, they can come on.
We'll definitely sit down at the table with Rough Trade if you're listening.
There you go. Well, they signed Soak. They've got previous here in Northern Ireland.
There you go.
So there won't be a pivot to just rapping in English. It'll be a case of
mix one with all English, one with all Irish.
We might start a Cantonese course here and do fucking half an album in Cantonese.
It worked really well with Christine and the Queens, or Chris Christine and the Queens. So he releases an album stuff, releases an album full in French and releases an album full in English.
Same tunes. Oh, crazy.
Double streams.
Yeah,
see, our songs are like intertwined with the two languages, so it's possible to decipher it and put it into one language, because we've created a new pigeon. Gaelgish. English.
I said as well, we don't sit down anymore. Like, maybe there was that wee bit of pressure at the start. Not necessarily pressure, but we wanted to do it justice in that way, that we wanted to do it as much as
But it was natural in the sense that we all spoke Irish together. You know what I mean? The thing is, people before us have tried to create what a version of what we are today, but because they don't speak Irish together socially.
Somebody must have won there.
What is that?
Is that for us?
Is, here it?
Is that for us? No, Phil,
you shouldn't
know
have.
What it is. Lunch. Only for them, cycling buses. Oh, tour buses.
The music video you guys do on, like, you know, you have put out are really high-end production. Like, there's a lot of time and effort goes into those. Like, I think that's been a big plus in, like, how you've managed to, like, get yourselves out there, right?
Yeah, I think there's a big thing, obviously, with the Irish language or whatever, that they do settle for very, like, bottom level. Like, my apologies to anyone listening, but, like, videos or whatever, if, like, you know, trad groups or whatever, and they're all just fucking sitting out in some forest playing tunes. Whatever, do you know what I mean? And like, they have sort of settled with like not the highest quality or whatever. We pushed and made sure that it was going to be something we wanted to do, where we were going to push for, like, you know, as good quality as possible. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but
videos or tunes or whatever.
Hip hop as a genre has always flexed in its music videos.
That's true.
Like, from day one. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the first music videos really were like all rock bands putting a lot of money into it, but hip hop took over. And I mean, you look at those videos from the '90s with like, like P Diddy and
fucking shit. Oh, wow, that's next level.
Like, that's next level. But like, the way you guys put a lot more time and effort into them than traditionally most bands would.
Well, definitely, we had to. Obviously, we kind of understood that we're again rapping in Irish, a language spoken by how many people. Daily, 100,000 max.
At least us, anyway. At least us,
me, them, and my dad, and whoever else. But we kind of knew that we had to visually describe the songs, because obviously hip hop is all about the lyrics and the storyline for us, anyway. And we knew we had to visually show this story so that people could then follow the storyline and then enjoy it, then, in that sense. And they could still get the story to an extent, even if they don't understand what we're saying, which is probably most people. But at least they can find out, right, okay. They're just flipping old fella dressed as an old woman in the bed with him, right? They must be shagging old fella women.
Old fella woman? Old fella cutie?
You know what I mean? So visually, we show it.
Dressed up with, like, pimp suits and all on.
And it's fun as well. Like, we do
also, in fairness, like, a big component to that is that there was a solid team around us as well from the start. Like we've had people who were...
Freebies
and stuff, like these people who are like professional cameramen and great editors or whatever.
Shout out Dacky.
Dacky O'Grana.
Shout out Don. Dan
Butler. Dan the Butler. And then obviously the most important one that we've had is Padraig O'Gill from Inishmore the last few while. And they're the backbone, obviously, of the videos. Like, obviously, yeah, we have the ideas or whatever, but they're the ones who are actually able to get this thing on a camera and like put our fucking way out their ideas and be able to film it in a way that people will understand it or whatever. So we've been lucky that way, that people have been, whether it's freebies or whether it was helping us out or whatever, we've had a great team. Like, so that's a big part of it.
We were ballsy though as well. We took a chance and they obviously seen that we were dedicated and we wanted to go through with this. So we came up with these wacky crazy ideas and they love that as well. Like, and we were only going, this is the only way we're going. There's no other options for us. We're not going back working in Madden's or working in schools. He's definitely not anyway. He got sacked from his school for being DJ Provy.
Yeah, fuck.
So if he's want to start a GoFundMe for DJ Provy.
Please do.
Or a school for him.
How did that conversation go?
They were collecting evidence on fucking, obviously we were doing gigs with that. We were doing the Empire. I'm looking at the front and I see, fuck, there's half of my students out there.
Have we got 3 minutes to read out the letter?
I'll just read out the points here.
Read out the points.
Okay. So, and then, they can find the letter on the
internet. You look sheepish. Are you okay with this?
Oh, fuck, aye. I've left now. So we left, and then, well, I left, and then after that.
He's got my phone now. I give you my phone. It's in the car.
Oh, fuck.
No, we're fucked. Doesn't matter.
We know them.
They pulled me in, then they were saying, right, here's a wee letter, go and read that. It's like you're on an investigation. You're no kind of fucking
alleged member of the band Kneecap.
You're out of school for 2 months now while we do this investigation. And also, fucking, I was out of school.
I'd love, like, was this like other primary school teachers doing an investigation?
It's like a Christian Brothers school, so it's all like nuns and stuff on the board and like priests.
It's the guy, so
this is like them doing the research the same way that like COVID deniers are doing the research by going on Facebook.
YouTube. So they're just watching our YouTube channel all day.
Someone had to go through all of our videos, like, and just fucking say, right, hey, is that him? I think that's him, right? So write this down. There's a big fucking list of stuff. And so one of them was like, the Max member appears on stage. Showing his buttocks to the crowd with the words Britson out written on Ealer buttock. That was one of them. And then there's another one was like...
A masked member appears to snort a white substance on stage.
Yeah, a masked member points his crutch at the crowd.
Signaling gun signals.
Things, I guess.
Some poor...
Which wasn't... Some of them weren't even him because sometimes he can't come or he couldn't go to America. So we had another fella in a balaclava. They're just writing it all down.
And some of them was our support act, Dirt, who was out in front of me with a big fucking fake nose
not
on.
Not even wearing a balaclava.
It's a big, huge prosthetic. It's a classic. He puts this big, huge prosthetic nose on in the middle of his show and then has this huge rolled up 20 euro note. And he pours out all this flour and goes down like with his whole head as a nose then starts snorting it. So they were blaming that on him as well. So some poor priest on the board of that school had to go through all these videos. We had to whack in and get him counselling.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was fucking
off two vagas.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So had to jump off that ship quickly. But fucking.
Was this read out in front of you?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't read out to me. It was sent to me in a letter. Like,
you had to go to the front of a committee and all after.
Yeah, I had to go like in front of the fucking.
What's going through your head?
They were going like, they were grabbing his face. They're like, take off the mask.
It's not me.
What was going through your head at that stage?
Probably just all our choruses.
I wanted to get out of there. Anyway. I was like, fucking get me out of here.
What was your job in there?
It was
in Irish, you know?
Yeah. Irish language development. I don't know.
Secondary school.
I guess that, like, yeah, it is a development in Irish, but maybe not something that matches with their core values.
Yeah, that's
having somebody who went to the Christian Brothers
in Tyrone. This school's in Tyrone.
Was it what?
Allegedly,
it's in Tyrone.
Well, having possibly gone to that school, I can imagine that it probably didn't go down the best. Like,
no, it didn't go down well at all.
That's a good point you're talking about, though. About people have been like all the teachers, like when we were in school, whatever, when we were 12 or 13, like the teachers have been calling out for years, like, oh, we need like trying to inspire us when we were young, like we need people to do something modern with the Irish language, you know, blah, 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 trying to push us to do this, and then. We finally did, and a lot of them disagreed with it.
Well, they just didn't know that we needed to create something that was modern, but also banned in school. We just took it on our level because we knew that, you know, if we're going to create music that young people are going to listen to, it's not going to be Boy Jean Enemy or whatever songs that we all traditional songs or, you know, soft versions of the Irish language. We need to bring it into its modern roughness. Today.
It's too real. We can't get it. I had a very strange moment there 2 weeks ago on Instagram. Jamie Dornan had shared your gig poster, and he'd followed me for a while, and I'd followed him for a while, and we'd never talked. And he's
our boyfriend then.
And he put that up, and I was just like going, and I just wrote underneath it going, this is the collab that I wasn't expecting to see
That's
today.
True. Yeah, he messaged us because he's going to one of the gigs, and then he just messaged us ages ago. So I was like, I'll task my arm because. We want to get people out for tickets because we're going on tour in England and Scotland on the 15th. And we wanted to get people out because of COVID. People are still, you know, not as used to buying tickets still. So we just messaged him and he's like, he didn't even reply. Actually, he just stuck it up. Fair play.
Yeah, even the better, what was better?
Check
better.
Out these lads would be on tour in England or something.
Yeah, fair play.
Better still was that he hadn't posted anything in like months.
Yeah,
it was like his first post in months. So we had like all his fucking like, all lunatic the
fan
pages.
There's like 20 of them following us now.
Yeah.
When sharing it and all, being like, he's got such a great taste in music.
He just replied to me and he was just going, they've got something to say. And I was just like, yeah.
Perfect. He's sound, actually.
Jimmy's all right in our
books. He's got good interviews and all.
I'd like to see a sex dungeon.
Oh, I must have a big one.
Well, I think I'd imagine if he's coming to one of your shows, you can chance your arm there.
Oh, I will get him drunk.
You do have
get him to start bringing us to all these fucking Hollywood parties.
Oh.
You do have quite a roster of like celebrity fans, though, don't you?
Yeah, we do have. Yeah, we were out with Baxter Jury there not too long ago.
Good crack.
He was brilliant. He was a really nice fella. Ian Jury's son hit me.
I have a funny story about that. My mum was when she was probably about your age was that song had come out, and it was after the what was it, the record hop or whatever the fuck it was called. Her friend had broken a tree off broken a branch off a tree outside and was baiting some boy with the branch, shouting, "Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, it's good to be a lunatic."
Baxter's a lovely fella. We had such a good night. He's like a Vice City character.
He's incredible.
He is.
It's very true. Literally. Like, and his music reflects that.
It does. If you're listening to his tunes, driving the flipping.
Your ma ringing you?
Hello.
Get her on the podcast.
My ma was ringing me a second ago, too.
Hello? How's it going? Not too bad. What's the crack?
Hello, mommy.
Here, I'll chat to you later on. I'm interviewing Kneecap.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was brilliant.
That could have been amazing. Could have come on. You know that rash that you used to have?
I remember I used to wash your bum.
I've got my ma's got crack. Like, I've used her on a couple of things before. Where she interviewed Labyrinth, and Labyrinth, and like asked her out on a date and all. And I was like, going, you want to go out on a date with my ma?
He's Pam.
Well, I can get the kids a new man.
Baxter Jury, Fontaine's DC boys, you're quite close with as well, aren't you?
Yeah, the boys are saying.
Sound fellas, really. Class music. We see them in Belfast there. Not too long ago, 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago.
Good anyway. They're
a standoff. I see them net. Class gig, just like energy, and it's nice to walk into pubs in Belfast and they're just playing the Fontaines, you know, over the speaker. You never really got that in Belfast. We were playing Irish music. And during the day, yeah, with the other people about, so that's very nice.
So, what's the vibes like? Like, I mean, when it comes to like releasing new music, you're bound to be sitting on something. It's been a while. I'm ready as a fan. Like,
we've got one in the paper. It's finished, and we're actually filming the video for it on Monday here, so it should be out. You're talking 16th or 17th. Mm-hmm. We were pushing for it to get out. We're pushing for it to get out before the tour, but. Things happen. Shit happens,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be out 16th or 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Great energetic one.
It'll be worth the wait. It'll be
if I was out. If I was your label, I would just be like, go and stick the static image out before the tour, sell them tickets, and then release the video a week later.
That's not bad shit.
No, we spoke about that yesterday with Dan. Maybe, it's not the place for it.
Right, band meeting.
Not the place for a band meeting.
Yeah. We'll have a few new tunes, and we'll be doing other tunes on the tour that aren't released as well, that we're going to be trying on the tour. We're pretty happy with. So.
And we're working on an album as well. Like,
pushing away
the album. We have loads and loads of tunes that we're working on the album now, basically. We're keeping until the new year comes. And
next year?
Yeah.
So it's gonna fucking calm your jets.
It's going to be big.
Whittle down a lot of the songs. We've got stacks here. Fucking.
Definitely going to be the best Irish language hip hop album ever.
Bit of Belfast.
What's the best unreleased tune? You can at least say the name of it. Like, so.
Well, the newest one is called Guilty Conscience.
No thanks.
So you probably get an idea what that tune's about. So and what's the other ones? Yeah, just loads.
We've loads coming out, but that'll be the new one. We'll not give too much away.
Okay.
That's the new one. Guilty Conscience. No thanks. There'll be a video out soon. So when's this coming out? This podcast?
It's today. We're recording this on the 9th. I'll either stick it out tomorrow on the 10th or on Monday.
Well, you're talking less than a week.
Okay.
Less than a week from your
video.
Dead on, guys. Thank you so much for being like my first interview back to flipping.
Our pleasure.
Real life.
We were well behaved though.
You were very well behaved, yeah.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Phil.
Garmaga, Philly.
All the best.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.